my name is Michael Bozy. Welcome to my podcast called Marketing Without the Marketing, where I try to teach you everything I know about content marketing in, 10-minute clips at a time. Now, I'm in the middle of this series about repurposing content, and this right here is segment number 5 of 6. So if you've been following along, you know what I'm talking about. If not, then I invite you to go back and check out the other 4 episodes just to catch up. But I'll do a quick review of where we are so far. Now, first of all, as I've said over and over again, repurposing content is really an important part of any content strategy, really because it makes you more efficient, right? That is kind of logical. You're getting more than one use out of the same piece of content. Now, I define 3 different ways to repurpose content. So that's by format, by context, or by extent. Format is about the content itself, whereas context is about the audience. And extent is more about the length of the content. So think of, categorizing each piece of content by its length and then working, one of 2 ways, either upstream or downstream. Now, in the last episode, I talked about the upstream method. In particular, I used an example of going from blog to book, right? Starting with the structure of a book as a roadmap and then writing it little by little while you publish each section in blog form. And before you know it, you have the first draft of 50 or 60% of a book. And I left a link in the show notes so that you can catch up on the upstream method in last week's episode. Now, I love working this way in my own projects and working with clients this way too. It's really effective and really efficient. And here's the cool thing. You get to the end of a project or, a few months in, whatever, and it leads towards something, right? You're actually building towards another use of this content and a much bigger project. And, who doesn't want to collect up their knowledge in a book, right? It's not for everyone, I get it, but what a great output so that you're not just blogging and tossing content into the ether. It's working towards something. But it's equally as important to make reuse of content in a downstream manner too, and that right there is the topic of today's episode, so let's get started. There are 2 cases that I would like to examine. The first is going from book to blog, and the second is going from blog to social. So let's quickly look at the first case before jumping into the one that's actually far more common, right? Repurposing a blog post into social posts. All right, in the first case, I might get an author, for instance, who would come to me with a finished book or at least a finished manuscript. That could be small business owners too who have this well of content. Let's say it's a user manual or some other thing that they've been using, like, could be sales tools, could be customer outreach, could be, they just got a bunch of content to work from. But most commonly, this tends to be authors, right? So I had one a couple weeks ago, for instance, an author came to me who said, and this is a very common case, I got a manuscript that's done, shopping it around to publishers and agents, and I keep hearing from them over and over again, they won't even consider it because they don't have a big enough author platform. And look, that's the way that it works today. All that's true. But here's the great thing. If you fit into this category where you've got this book or a manuscript, you already have content to work from, right? You've got a completed manuscript. So in my downstream method, here's what I'll do. Just take some portion of that content and start publishing it in pieces on your blog. Now, we won't publish the entire book, but selected sections, right? Usually from the introductory portion of the book. After all, you want to get those basic ideas across, to be able to teach your audience about your topic. And, little by little, you'll use this existing content that you already have to be out there building your audience. And look, the great thing is that while you're doing this, you'll actually get live feedback about the content as well. In other words, you'll expose it to an audience and they'll actually help you make it better while you build up trust with this audience at the same time. It's an awesome process. Now, if your intent is to get this placed with a publisher and they give you a hard time about this, I talked about this in detail in the last segment. And look, in short, this attitude is beginning to change with publishers. So if this is a concern for you, I urge you to check out the last segment. And I left a link in the show notes for you to make that convenient. Hold on one quick second. I'll be right back after this brief message. Okay, back to the show. All right, so that's going from book to blog. Pretty straightforward, right? But not everyone is in the situation, you know, having this piece of long-form content at their disposal. So let's look at the more common case going from blog to social. Now, first of all, before we get started on this, when I talk about blog, I'm really talking about any medium form content. So yes, that could be blog posts, could be podcast episodes, could be short explainer videos, could be white papers, anything between a few hundred words and a few thousand words. But just for the purposes of this segment, I'll refer to them as blog posts. Now, blog posts are a good example because they have rich opportunities for adding meta content, which really helps with SEO or search engine optimization. And I'm going to go through each element one by one, just the important stuff as it relates to these individual blog posts. And let's go through this quickly because, look, there's a lot to it. There's a lot of nuances in this, but I want to try to stick to the overview level just so you can get a sense of this. Now, first of all, when you write your blog post, there are two pieces of meta content that are really important and should be included in every blog post. Those two things are meta description and excerpt. The meta description is the short description of your post that shows up in both Google search and in social sharing. The optimal length is no more than 160 characters, otherwise it gets cut off in Google. And you've seen these meta descriptions before, right? Think, for instance, when you do a Google search, you get a list of content, right? And each item on that list has three things: the title of the post, the link, and the third thing, that's the meta description. This works in social too, so think Facebook posts. When you're sharing a blog post or any other article, you notice that there'll be three things there, right? The post image, right? The picture there, and then the post title, and then there it is again, the meta description. So that's where that's going to show up in either Google search or in social. And in either case, this meta description is incredibly important as to whether or not you're going to click the link, right? Think about your experience when you're sort of assessing this for yourself in search. You get the title, great. The link or the image, great. And often the thing that is going to seal the deal on the click is that meta description. So it's incredibly important that that's compelling and sort of sells the click, if you will. But here's the thing, you can use that meta description for other purposes as well. Now, you can't use it on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Google+, because the post is going to use that automatically. But you can use it for other social platforms like, for instance, Instagram, Pinterest, Snapchat. Also, for instance, participating in forums or in groups or in other things like Reddit or StumbleUpon. All right, so that's the meta description. Let's talk about the excerpt now, and this has some multiple uses, which is very, very convenient if you can do a little bit of planning ahead. Okay, so the excerpt is what shows up on your blog archive pages. In other words, yoursite.com/blog, right? So you probably have a page that shows a list of posts with a thumbnail image, the post title, and then what's that below it, that description? That's the excerpt. Now, the excerpt serves a similar function to the meta description. It's trying to get people to click through to the post, but here's the key thing. That excerpt is not used by Google in search results, and it's not used in social platforms either. So you might be able to see where I'm going with this, right? While you're writing the blog post, write this excerpt so that, one, it's different than the meta description, and two, here's the big thing, so that you can use it for your actual Facebook post too. And here's the cool thing, you'll be able to use it for more than just Facebook. This same excerpt can be used for Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, Snapchat, and look, really any other social platform, because they're not using this piece of content. So why not make another use of it? Now, while there's no optimal length for an excerpt, it doesn't have to be limited to 160 characters, it also doesn't hurt to keep them kind of, you know, short and punchy if you're going to use them for social posts as well. Now, when I'm training people on blog writing, I tell them to write all this content at the same time so that you can really plan for it to all work together in a nice coordinated way. Now, I have a lot of blog and social templates on my site that can help you with this. So I left a link in the show notes for you right below the media player on my site. Now, one more thing that I have to mention is that even with the excerpt, you have to pay attention to different contexts. Now, I talked a lot about this in the segment about repurposing content across contexts. So, of course, you can go back and review that. But in short, remember that each social platform is its own community. So that means that the cues will be different. The context will be different. So you're going to have to make some touch-ups for each different platform. But it still saves you time to have the excerpt at the ready for you to use, right? So that you don't have to write it again. So when you're ready to post, it's not going to take you that long to post to another channel. And remember, the whole goal of this, right, is to save time. So a little work up front can help you just do that and be a little more efficient with it. Okay, so that leaves us with one more thing to talk about, which is the blog post itself. Now, most blog posts are ideally somewhere between about 600 to 1200 words. You know, could be a little bit more, of course, but you don't want it to be much shorter than about 450 to 500 words. Generally, that's considered not good for the Google bots. And we'll probably, I don't know if it'll damage your ranking, but it's definitely not going to help. All right, so what you have here then with your blog post is a well of content that's ready to be reused, right? So here's what I do. Make a quick copy of the blog content, just copy it into a text document, a Word document, Google Doc, whatever, and then start cutting it up into short quotes. There are two categories of content here, right? So you're going to have short social pieces and then medium social pieces. So for instance, with the short social pieces, that's going to be for things like Twitter, obviously, right? And Pinterest. These are really primarily tailored for Twitter. So they're limited to 140 characters with a link to your post included. And try to, from your blog post, try to cull out anywhere from a half dozen to a dozen short quotable phrases. Get a short link for the blog post using a short link generator like Bitly, and then just add it to the end of each of these posts. Throw in a hashtag or two for each, and you'll be ready to queue these. And generally what I do is I quickly run these through a length checker before bulk uploading them to Hootsuite. Again, I got a template for that for you to use. Just download along with the blog and social template. It's an Excel document. It's really handy. I use it all the time, and I hope it'll save you a lot of time too. Now, for medium social posts, right, that would be the things that go on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+. I mean, these are a little bit longer than tweets. So remember that you already have the excerpt and you know, but you don't want to just be one and done with these channels, right? So in addition to the excerpt, grab one or two more medium-sized quotes, if you can, from the post itself. Now you'll be able to easily promote this blog post a few times in these different channels, right? So once when it publishes, and then you're going to use the excerpt, since that's your best description. Once, maybe a week later, and you can pull one of those quotes that you grab from the post itself. And then maybe once a month later, right? And you can grab another one of those quotes. But the thing I would urge you to do here is just do all this up front. So a week later, a month later, you don't have to think about it. You already wrote the content while you're in the thick of it. And of course, this brings up, you know, something really important, right? You can see the need for an editorial calendar to help you keep track of all this, right? And I got templates for this too. Just download those and use them. But look, here's the thing with editorial calendars. I would strongly recommend that you adjust it to suit your specific needs, right? You want to make this as frictionless as possible. Otherwise, it's not going to help you because you won't use it, right? So we can't have that. All right, so there's one third thing you might consider, which is a digest of your blog post too. And the best use of this is to take a few paragraphs from your post, probably the first few paragraphs really, and repurpose this into your newsletter. And I talked about this in the segment on repurposing content across formats, so you can go back and get more on that. But this really works well if you don't want to send the entire blog post in an email. You just want to send a digest instead. And this is especially important if you're writing really long blog posts. I mean, think about this. You don't want to read an email that's 1,500, 1,800, 2,000 words, right? It's perfectly okay to give a digest and have someone click through to your site. And then, of course, they can save it in a feed reader or some other app that saves content like Pocket. Pocket is my favorite, the one that I use. All right, so that's my downstream method. And in my experience, like I said before, the best thing to do is to do all of this at once while you're writing the blog post. And look, I know we're all busy. It's not always feasible to do that. But if you can, you're right there in it, hip deep in your blog posts. That's when you know it best. And really, if you can, that's the best time to just get everything done up front, put it in your editorial calendar, and you're good to go. You won't need to think about it again. Now, this method, it takes a little while to get used to it, but after a few cycles, you'll get really good at it, and it will make you much more efficient. You'll find that your social posts are a lot stronger as well. And, you know, why is that? Because you're treating them as a part of the writing process. And this is really good content strategy, and it's a great way to up your game, both in quality and in time saved. All right, so I'll stop there, and I hope, like with the other episodes, that you found this to be useful. We've now covered almost everything about repurposing content, but there's one more topic. And if so far everything's about repurposing content 101, this next topic is kind of the 201 course, if you will, repurposing content to create an online course. Now, I have what I think is a really clever way to use medium form content to work towards producing a saleable online course. And yes, it's easy to repurpose text, images, but I even have a way to repurpose audio. It's definitely an advanced technique, but I really believe that anyone can learn it, and I'm teaching it to a couple clients right now, so I feel like I can back up that claim. Now, you won't want to miss this, so please subscribe, and I'll let you know as soon as it's published. All right, so thank you for sticking with me for most of this series. I really hope that you've been able to apply what you've learned here to up your content game, and, you know, hit me up and let me know. I'd love to hear that this has made a difference to you. All right, so until the next episode, thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.